What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The following presentation is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to a vast array of sports and entertainment podcasts, including Two and a Half Wrestlers, Neckbreaker, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Inconclusive Breakdown, Midnight Jury, After Midnight, Apex Radio, and The Shining Wizards. Plus exclusive shows Thursday Night Destruction and Kevin Gill's King of Indies podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome back live to the first hour of this edition of WCW Monday Nitro on TNT. Tony Schiavone and Larry Zbyszko. And we are taking a look at the Mauler completely maul his opponent, Steve Dahl.
Well, you know, Steve Dahl was trying to get an offensive going.
Wait a minute.
But
what the hell is going on here?
But the Mauler, well, he just got reversed right there. The Mauler runs him down. What are you talking about?
Look here.
What the hell?
Wait a minute. I can't believe what I'm seeing.
You people.
What's with him?
You know who I am. But you don't know why I'm here.
Are we going to get security here?
Where is Billionaire Ted? Where is the Nacho Man? That punk can't even get in the building. Me, I go wherever I want, whenever I want.
Listen, we need to get somebody to call.
And where... Oh, where is Scheme Gene? Because I got a scoop for you. When that Ken Doll lookalike, when that weatherman wannabe comes out here later tonight, I got a challenge for him, for Billionaire Ted, for the Nacho Man, and for anybody else in WCW. Hey, you want to go to war? You want a war? You're going to get one.
Fantastic. What about the match? I don't know what to say. Randy Anderson's coming. Randy? Randy, what's going on here? What about the match, Randy? What's going? The match is match fans. We got to go to a break.
The match left.
I have no idea what to say. Stay with us.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everybody else, you're new. Well, we're not new anymore. You're recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Impact Playa, Mr. Phil Raya, and I am joined by...
the lustful woodsman himself, the Mega Powers.
Welcome back to the fold, my brother.
You know, it's only been a week, but it seems like forever.
Yeah, man. You know why? I think it's because the nights are... days are getting longer, and there's a bunch of stuff going on.
There's a lot of stuff going on,
breaking
man.
News and just good stuff all around, man. How was your week, by the way?
Busy.
Keeping busy, I'm sure?
Yeah, man. going to be helping out with a friend of mine's short film. It's going to be for a 72-hour film festival. Let me rephrase myself. It's for a 72-hour shoot. So... This is the plan. They give you the story the day of, the first day that you're supposed to be shooting. You have to write the script, and then the next day, you know, or that day, just start shooting, and you have 72 hours in which to complete this film. So this is interesting because I have done a 48-hour shoot before, but... you know, I was only just doing production work, so I wasn't, you know, part of every little, you know, little thing. But that's just one of the things I'm doing. There's other shit that's happening. The New York Asian Film Festival is going down June 29th, so I'm doing work for that. It's giving me more responsibility this year, so basically it's kind of like no free time. That's the best way I could put it. And well, if I want free time these days, I have to just make it happen.
That's
and it. Just force myself to have fun.
Well, before we go any further, we are live, David.
We're live.
That's right. Rant Entertainment Media, Rant EM Radio is the spot. We are a Shining Wizards Network production, as always. Okay, so I've been pretty busy myself, just trying to get things in order in the Decadome. Season's changing. You got to upload shit. You got to, you know, do all this other
upload
nonsense.
Upload a new house.
You got to upload the fucking air conditioners. You got to make... fucking, you got to make spots for the show. You got to send out emails. You know, just trying to do some fundraising, and I got some stuff going on. Let me break down some network news first and foremost. New Shining Wizards out last night. New Midnight Jury probably this Friday. New Inconclusive Breakdown. The Fallen Angels are they're back, so their new stuff is out this week as well. Go check all that stuff out. I'm sure Dave Destruction, and I think 2.5 Wrestlers, all those guys have new shows right now. And I am taking one for the team this Sunday, Dave. You know I'm not a big fan of the Elimination Chamber. I actually hate the Elimination Chamber.
Yo, this one seems pretty darn good.
Well, I stepped in it because the network came to me and said, Phil, will you host the pre- and post-show for Elimination Chamber, and I...
Post show.
Yeah, pre and post. I told the AA, I hope I can stay awake, man, for the post show. But yeah, definitely
hard.
Definitely doing the pre-show. Tune in for that at 7 o'clock on Rant EM Radio. All the usual suspects will be there, I'm sure.
I know. Why doesn't he do the post show before the WWE post show? Because I actually like watching the WWE post show.
I'm not...
It's hard for me to, you know, make a call on that.
Just, yeah, I just
putting that in the suggestion box.
Yeah, you can let the boss know. I'm sure he's listening. Let him know. But anyway, let's say hello to everybody in the chat room real quick. I see Mr. X is in there. Ted Turner is like all over the turnbuckle throwbacks lately.
Yo, Ted Turner needs to throw me some of his money right now.
Word up.
Ted.
Mr. Matt E. Legend's in there.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
All right. So,
hey man, I noticed when I was gone last week, everybody was calling into the show. The chat room poured into the show.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll be hosting that this weekend, this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. Yes, Ring of Honor Best in the World pay per view coming to New York City June 19th. I will not be attending. However, I will be hosting the post show on rantemradio.com. Pay-per-view starts at 9 p.m., so I'm thinking like 11:45, I'll jump on there and do a post-show.
All right.
It looks like a great card. They're doing some other stuff the next day. They're doing a TV taping at Terminal 5. Samoa Joe will be around for that, apparently. That's what I'm hearing. And so tune into that. A lot of new programming coming on the Rant, so you know, just stick around, listen to all the updates, and check out the Facebook page and the website, obviously. As you all know, Castle Slam is going down August 23rd, right before SummerSlam that night. Referee calling it down the middle. Dave Mega Powers will be in the house for that. We're going to have a cavalcade of stars that night. Mr. Rex will be taking on Rage in the eating contest. Tank will be in the building. I heard Mr. Rex is bringing one of his youngins with him.
He's bringing his kin with him.
Yeah. The Unsilent Majority and myself will be calling the action. Tony C. Double A will be doing the emceeing.
We getting any Shining Wizards coming down? Or show?
Yeah, I'm working on that. I'm working on that.
We can talk about it a bit later since we're talking Castle Slam. But I got to see Shining Wizards Eddie.
Yes, PWS. We'll get it.
World title shot.
We'll definitely get into that in a minute. Boy, Mikey the Hammer will be our ring announcer. So. Live, rantneamradio.com, 6 p.m. August 23rd. July the 1st will be the contract signing for Castle Slam. Both combatants will be on with AA on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks live that night. It's also our 3-year anniversary that weekend. But since I'll be in D.C.
July or June?
July, I'm sorry. July 1st. Wednesday, July 1st will be our 3-year anniversary show. You're welcome to come in studio as always. I invited all the wizards. I called in last night, spoke to them briefly. But yeah, and the contract signing will be July 1st on the Rant with us live, AA.
And what are we going to do if Rage backs out? He's too chicken.
Well, there's Rabenowitz and Rabenowitz of Greater South Florida is drawing up the contracts. The attorneys have been involved. AA assured me last night and that they are keeping this, you know, to the up and up. All the legalities will be put on print prior to the contract signing. So we'll have everything in place prior to the big event. So
you know, I'm actually going to make a challenge for myself.
Which is what?
For Castle Slam. I'm going to go, not today, of course. Starting Saturday, I'm going to go, Sunday for Elimination Chamber. Gonna go gluten free and dairy free until Castle Slam.
Until Castle Slam?
Yeah, man.
All right, man. I hope that all works out for you.
So I can be slim and trim and have plenty of room for some White Castle hamburgers.
White Castle hamburgers, yeah. So, guys, we need some donations. This is not gonna be cheap. I've seen Mr. X eat. It's not pretty. We're gonna need some donations.
He's a big boy.
He's a big boy. And not for nothing, Rage, who my son calls Mark Henry's twin, and that's in a nice way. That's how he refers to, because he's a, you know, we don't use fucking stage names here in the house. Only Dave gets called Mega Powers with my family. Everybody else gets called by their government name. So
yeah, Rage gets called by his first name all the time.
Right, exactly. So when I told Mikey that Rage was doing this, I said, Rage. He goes, Rage who? And I said, you know, I told him Rage's name. He goes, oh, that guy. Your friend who came over for all the wrestling. I'm like, yeah. He goes, he's Mark Henry's twin. I'm like, I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
And I got to throw it out there to Rage. I have a funny, you know, I'm not worried about Mr. Rex, but I'm worried about Rage. I have a funny feeling that guy is not doing any training whatsoever. He's probably not getting in shape for Castle Slam. And chances are I'm going to be driving his ass back to Newark. And I do not want to be making bathroom stops constantly.
Well Mega Powers, I'm going to play devil's advocate like I did last night. And I'm going to say maybe Rage is not posting any of his training regimen. Maybe he's actually doing the right thing and working this thing out, you know?
Hasn't been saying anything about it.
Well, he says he's ready. And, you know, he's been
I don't trust that. I don't trust Rage saying that he's ready.
I don't know, man. I want to give Rage a benefit of the doubt. I hope he doesn't back out.
Well, you should give him the doubt of the doubt.
The doubt of the doubt? Okay.
Yeah.
So go to rantemradio.com, click on the donate button. $5 or $10 from, like, our loyal fans will probably cover the cost of the food.
So I'm already thinking about just because there's a White Castle on the way to your place.
Well, there's a White Castle down the road over here.
$50 worth of castle, yeah, you know, on well, the way.
There's a castle maybe not even 20 blocks from my house. So I mean, yeah, they're on Forest Avenue. So I mean there's options, you know. There's talk of t-shirts being made up. There's a prize being sent, apparently me made up as well. All you got to do is bring a referee shirt, and if you want to have a whistle, it's up to you. But I assured everybody involved that you will be calling it right down the middle. That's what
I assured. Everyone knows how fair I am, so
That's right. So, all right, so you were at PWS this past weekend.
Yeah, man.
Hanging out with Shining Wizards Tony.
You know, I thought it was funny. Tony actually told me that they mentioned me by name on 2.5 Wrestlers recently.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. I haven't listened to it, but Tony Z was telling me how that they mentioned me by name, bringing up that I made a remark on this show, which I totally did, that you know, they should put more of their own guys, you know, how can I word it, you know, as the faces of the company, you know, have less of like the old dudes like Bret Hart, who, you know, they come to the ring, you can barely hear them over the fucking PA, but that's just indie wrestling in general, you know. If you go to a local indie show, you're guaranteed that there's going to be a shitty PA, and you're not going to be able to hear a word that these guys are saying. So you get to hear a mumbled Bret Hart, not even a promo, just him talking about being in Jersey. And, you know, granted, Bret Hart is bringing in good crowds for those shows, you know, especially for autographs. You know, that's a big deal. But I don't know. You know, I'm not the kind of guy who really goes out of his way to really buy autographs or you know, photos or any signed shit anymore. You know, if you get like a fucking Rick Martel or something, then I'll like,
well, like I did,
I'll
with
appear.
Like I did with, I got Tully Blanchard. So I got.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You know, when you get like dudes like that,
yeah,
I'll pop up.
So wait a minute. So before I'm gonna cut, I didn't know this went down. So
yeah,
so who made the comment? Which one of the four?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Tony Z about it, because again, I haven't listened to the show.
I'm more shocked they fucking listen to our show.
Apparently they do.
Wow, good for them. All right, 2.5 Wrestlers is a good show. It's got a friend Pat Buck who co-owns PWS. It's got Kevin Matthews. It's got you know, Jay Silva, the Jewosaurus, and it has now Brian Myers, and you guys know him better as Kurt Hawkins. So they listen. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool to hear.
All right, so now they said they heard our show.
They heard my comment that, you know, hey, you know, try to have less of these big names, and you know, I know I said it that you know, they could still draw with their own guys. And I totally believe that.
Yeah, well, they
there's a lot of talented dudes. And
there's a lot of talent.
PWS has, you know, been around, you know, long enough where, you know, a lot of people that go to these shows, they're familiar with their guys. And I've even heard that they're having people traveling to go to PWS shows.
Yep.
So, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. You know, anybody that has listened to their show, they disagreed with me. And they said that, you know, if you don't have a big name, you don't draw. But this past show, they didn't really have too many big names. I think they had Cole Cabana.
Who won, right? He won.
I think Ashley from WWE.
Well, no, Ashley is PWS talent now. I think she signed like a contract or something like that. She's going to be on, you know, she's going to be on there almost regularly, apparently.
Yeah, well, she wasn't on that show.
No, all right.
She was on one of the promos, which
right.
I couldn't hear.
Right.
But, but I'm really curious about these promos that they play during the show at PWS, because I can't fucking hear them. And I have like hawk, like, you know, hearing ability, and I can't hear what the fucking, you know, they're saying over the PA. There's like a few promos I can make out what they're saying, but for the most part, just the PA in that place just doesn't sound good. I don't know. It's a high school gym, for lack of a better term. You know,
yeah,
it's a rec center.
It's a rec center, but To their credit, I mean, the lighting got tremendously better.
Not this show. I wasn't too impressed.
Well,
by
they put a conscious effort into making the lighting better. I can't speak for all the shows because
they're doing what they can.
Okay,
I'll
for the
PA, I wasn't. All right, but I'll be blunt, I wasn't too happy with the lighting.
And as for the PA,
there are some things like they have like a light over the ring and like this kind of like a like an old school boxing kind of thing. I don't even know how to describe it. You know, just kind of like a light and just, you know, like this kind of like a container or something to contain the light. I don't know.
Okay.
But it looks cool.
So they disagreed, and that was just it. There was no obviously no hard feelings or anything. There was
no, I don't think so.
Yeah, because.
I know I talk a lot of shit, but...
You do talk a lot of shit.
I would hope that they know when I'm just kind of doing things for a laugh and when I'm serious. But from what I'm told, not too many people understand my sense of humor, and that's fine. But what's it called? I went to that show on this past Saturday specifically to see Eddie in his championship title match.
Oh yeah, against
he's
Mario
one of the managers,
Poker.
And you know what's going to happen to the manager.
Yeah,
but
well, and all of Eddie's boys aren't here; they're down in Texas, right?
Yeah, all his boys are gone. He was all on his lonesome.
Oh boy,
and it was a really good turnout. Again, they didn't have any big names at the show,
dude. They draw like between 700 and 1,000 people a show, maybe even more, right? And that's not
something
even
like that.
Yeah,
I would say this show. Maybe about 500, if not like a little bit more than that, maybe a little bit less, one or the other.
Yeah.
Still, that's like it didn't look like a typical, you know, sold out, you know, kind of PWS show, the big names, which I'm sure they'll get next month for their super card. But they had a good turnout, and it was the double ring battle royal, double trouble royal.
Yeah, for the medallion, right?
For the medallion, which number
is their
one contender.
Like, which is their, like, Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was decent. I thought it got a bit more exciting towards the end because Habib, the guy from the car wash, that guy is so fucking over.
Yeah,
and,
he's
such a waif-like man of a wrestler.
Isn't he friends with our friend Pete Sanzone, who does the other podcast, Pete's From My Old Neighborhood?
I have no idea.
I keep forgetting who Pete's friends with. I know we're friends with Pete, but shout out to Pete anyway. Pete's From My Old Neighborhood, so.
But he's so fucking over.
He is over. It's a good character.
The car wash. The guy is like skinnier than me. And, you know, towards the end of the Double Trouble Rumble, you know, he threw a couple guys out over the top rope and... The fans just like stood up, and that's a big deal to get fucking wrestling fans to get their fat ass off of the seats to be excited about something. And of course, he got eliminated, unfortunately. But Colt Cabana ended up getting the medallion, so he's the number one contender to Mario Bocara's PWS championship.
And they fought a couple of months ago, those two guys.
Yeah, so
Mr. Funny Guy says to him, Colt Cabana, he says. Yeah, Mario Boker is on fire. That guy is a fucking beast.
Yeah, and his match with Eddie wasn't really a match. You know, it was like during the show,
Yeah, you sent me the
video. I had a little advance notice. I was reading the dirt sheets before the show, so I had a funny feeling Eddie was going to get a title shot that night. I headed out. It's not too far away from my house. I'm always up for supporting all you guys in your future endeavors or whatever you're
doing.
It's
a good night. Listen... And this is not just because we're friends with some of these guys, but if you're in the area, it's hands down a really good night of wrestling. It's you never walk out of it going, oh, that was like half the call was bad or most of the call was bad. No,
well, don't get me wrong, it wasn't the greatest night of wrestling.
But they're entertaining. It's always entertaining. They have a core of guys there now that are being showcased from their school. That are top notch.
Yeah, you know? And those guys are going to go on to do bigger stuff, and it's going to be like, hey, you know, I saw them when this guy was at the Rahway Rec Center. You know, I've seen Daniel Bryan countless times wrestle when he was a nobody.
Yeah,
actually, when he got fired? No. It wasn't when he got fired. It was actually when he initially got signed. Well, not initially, because he did some dark matches as American Dragon for WWE. But when he got put on, when everybody knew he was going to Tough Enough, and they did the final countdown tour in ROH, I saw him at his first last indie match at the Rahway Rec Center for Evolve.
Okay,
and that was like his first last match, and then you know, Tough Enough went down. He was part of Nexus and got fired. So he was doing some more indie shows after that. So
right.
So it wasn't the real last indie show, but it was the first last indie show.
Well,
and I saw him at the Rahway Rec Center. That's a big deal. I saw him at so many different places. And, you know, it's a big deal when you can, you know, best way I could put it is like, hey, you can't relive the past. You can't savor the flavor of, you know, being in the moment. But, you know, occasionally you can say, hey, I was a part of this moment. And nobody can take that away from me.
Yeah, I've been at the rec center when it was standing room only. You know, I've been in a rec center where there was no air conditioning in September, and the place was fucking packed. You and I were there, that night. And then, like again, I've been there for nights where it was 2 degrees outside and people were packed outside from 5 o'clock in the afternoon to get in. So mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's got a great following. And they got some smart dudes running the organization. This is, you know, again, not because we know some of these cats, but I mean, it's for me to go out now at 40 years old to spend money on fucking wrestling, like just to watch live wrestling. I have to be, and this is, I go without the kid. Most of the time I'm without Mikey because he's with his dad or you know, something else is going on.
But hey, man, you know, we could be, you know, spending our time on better shit than pro wrestling.
Yeah, and it's a good time.
Isn't that great? You know, it's I'll a say good time. And time again.
Listen, they secured a TV deal. That, again, lots of personality. I'm partial to guys like Kevin Matthews because he's a fucking Brooklyn guy. And I think Kevin's over the top, really good.
I don't think he's that great, but
I think he's good. I didn't say he was great.
Good.
Kevin's a good hand, and he can go, and you're seeing more of him evolving, like doing the fucking the kendo stick matches, and you see him being a little more hardcore, and you see, you know, his promos.
I mean, gotta be versatile, you know. Right. Plus, dudes that are like the faces of the company, like real quick, you know, I was a big Chikara fan. I used to go every month to Philly to go see Chikara. Everybody would always shit on Quackenbush for like no reason. The guy was the best guy in the organization, but for whatever reason, people would just kind of like shit on him. Like, he runs the company, so that's why he's the champion.
And they gave him shit for that, and it's bullshit.
Yeah, it's like he's the fucking best guy. He's training the dudes that are wrestling for him.
But don't be surprised. You're gonna see like the Carinos are already doing big things down in Texas for Booker T's organization. Don't be surprised. Yeah. Global Force picks up on some of these guys.
They already?
I think so. The Handicap Heroes are over right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these, like, I mean, just crazy talent. I mean, Habib, you mentioned, the McIntosh, the Bad Apple.
Yo, Habib is so good. If that guy bulks up, gets some muscle on him, he'll be a big deal.
Anthony Bowens really impresses me. I mean, I like the whole Monster Island gimmick. I mean, I'm putting them over, and I know the Wizards do a whole bunch of putting them over, but again, I'm actually glad they listen to the show. So again, guys, you're always welcome to guys even calling them, you know, and I've spoken to Pat a few times at the events. And I've spoken to a bunch of those other guys. I met Jay Silva finally a few months ago. Good dude. So, I mean, you know, good for them. 2.5 wrestlers on the Shining Wizards Network, rebutting Mega Powers is, you know, not even a shoot. It's a fucking, you know, it's just an opinion. You know, opinions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't a thing where Dave was shitting on him, so.
Well, you know, just kind of how I feel. It's not like a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just what I'm observing, and, you know, I'm talking about, you know, my personal tastes and preferences, which aren't going to be everybody else's, so.
Yeah,
But I will, like, you know, I do want to say this. Doesn't matter if it's wrestling or whatnot, you know. If I consider you a friend and you're doing something that really makes you happy, I'm going to be there to fucking support you, you know, whether it's wrestling or if you're a fucking ballet dancer, you know. I'm not a big fan of, you know, fucking slam poetry or death poetry or any of that shit, but gone to that stuff.
Yeah, my wife does all that stuff, man. The poetry.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I do all that shit with that. Where I go to.
Well, I'll be blunt. I fucking hate it. And when I've been to some of these things, I can't stand the people that are there. But because a friend of mine's doing it and they're passionate about it, I'll go to there to support them.
That's all.
Yeah,
and you know, and we love Eddie. We love Kevin. and we love a lot of those. And they're Wizards, and we support everything they do. So we'll support.
I knew
them.
He was going to get his ass handed to him, which is what happened. I want to say this about Eddie. You know, not to inflate his ego, but just to point out some good things that he's doing. Like, it wasn't really a match. It was just them sitting down on chairs and to start the match.
Yeah.
And Bokuro was just shit talking them. And actually, no, I don't support Sonny doing porn. To question Mr. X. I'm not a Sonny fan nowadays. But anyway, but she could do whatever the hell she wants. It's her life. But what's it called? Well, let me rephrase myself. I'm not going to support actually watching that porn. But anyway, back to the match, Eddie really slapped the shit out of this dude, which of course Bokuro isn't going to sell, but I loved how Eddie was just kind of like waving his hand like it hurt like fucking, I'm sure it did. When you slap a guy as hard as you can, it's going to hurt. Yeah. Even if you punch him like with a closed fist, it's going to hurt.
Yeah, he's been getting his ass kicked lately. Bokuro. Mick Foley gave him Mr. Socko. He got bounced around a few times. I mean, last month too. So, anyway, so good, man.
So for some reason they dressed him up in a lion suit.
Yeah,
which I didn't understand, but I don't know if there's like a recurring storyline or something like that. And I don't know. The fans didn't seem too into it, but I think that also has to do with just kind of like. You just can't hear the promos, and that match was in line with a video promo that they showed, on their PWS Tron. So I don't think the fans heard it well, so when it went down, I'm sure a lot of people, know who Eddie is. Maybe they don't. They may not have understand why it happened, and it was just a bit confusing. But, for me, I caught the grasp of it. I know Eddie, so it's a bit more personal, so I enjoyed it a bit more thoroughly than the rest of the fans. So
it's nice to see Eddie get his ass kicked in the ring.
He's the heel manager. He's supposed to get his ass kicked. When I was with Beyond, towards my dying days, if you want to call it that, Chris was asking me to be his manager to do like a lawyer thing, and I'm kind of like, it's just kind of like, just beat up from just doing so many of these, different projects. Beyond wasn't paying. I knew a lot of the guys in Beyond, weren't, fans of me because I was like the non-wrestler and...
The Clarence Mason of Evolve?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just kind of like, I can't do it. And I knew at the end of the day, I don't want anybody stiffing me because they don't like me. And, at the end of the day, the heel manager... regardless of what his role is, gets their ass kicked. And I was like, yeah, I can't do it.
All right.
But I'm glad Eddie's enjoying getting his ass kicked. So
So shout out to Eddie. Shout out to all those cats. I'm going to try to make the next show, which is, I think, June 6th or something like that. But I'm actually working on a wrestling project on my own, which I can't get into until we hammer it out. A couple of my wife's friends doing some kind of mockumentary about pro wrestling, and they're doing one of the local shows around here, one of the local feds. So I might be joining them on some kind of project. But once we get it all hammered out, I'll keep you guys informed. It should be a fun time. So anyway, stay on the lookout for that. I'll post that when time allows me to, when I get more information on it. So let's see. I got my list here. I didn't talk to you last week. What'd you think about NXT?
Phenomenal.
Good. That's all.
It took me a while to watch it, but it was so good.
I'm glad you enjoyed that. I got the Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, the Broads Division title match, that was the best match.
It stole the show, and I hate women's wrestling. I got the Jerry Lawler.
Main event is always going to be great, but as far as show stealers, that was your Savage Steamboat match of the night.
Pretty much. I got the Jerry Lawler DVD last weekend. Wasn't terrible. I was going to buy the download, but the DVD had more matches on it because they have it digitally now on iTunes for $18. Mm-hmm. So for $25, I got it in Queens. It wasn't terrible. They cover his story and they talk to, they didn't go into depth with a bunch of people, which I was pissed about. I wanted to hear more about Bill Dundee. They didn't get into that. They did the whole Andy Kaufman thing, which was cool. But his stuff with Austin Idol was great. They didn't get into that. Eddie Gilbert, they didn't get into that. A lot of the Memphis stuff, they talked to Jimmy Hart for, like, you know, 2 minutes. So they didn't go in-depth with the interviews in terms of his career, more of his life story. They interviewed his son, his girlfriend, you know, Vince.
Which one?
Oh, no, his current one, not Stacy Carter. They mentioned her, though. They mentioned that he left the company. Everything was out in the open. You know, Jim Ross did something. Like, you know, people forget Jerry Lawler has been around for a long time. I finally realized why he's a Cleveland Browns, Cleveland, Ohio fanatic. I didn't know. But you'll have to watch the DVD to find out. I'm not gonna ruin it for you. But it was a good story. They had the empty arena match of him and Terry Funk. But they had a bunch of matches. I didn't get to the second disc yet, but
did they have the empty arena match
with him and Terry Funk? Yeah.
My eye.
Yeah. So it was cool. I enjoyed it. A little disappointed with the interviews. I thought they'd be more in depth with some of the characters he got involved with. But again, it was all good. I got it for the footage because he actually, you know, that's his footage.
Because there's like five different people that supposedly own it.
Yeah, I want to talk.
Like him, I think. I don't know if Lance Russell owns any of.
No, Boland's got some, and
the black guy that didn't
Jerry,
announce
ja- yeah, Jerry Jarrett's got some. So,
like, how many hours of Memphis wrestling is there available? But
apparently,
I don't know, from what you're telling me, it sounds like the Blu-ray was just kind of like some Memphis, didn't really touch upon his career. I would love to know the real history of this guy's career. I'm sure it's much more interesting than whatever's on that Blu-ray.
You know what? It's again, his story is good, and I think it needed to be told, and that's why I actually bought it. I love the matches. I wanted more of the matches. I would have bought the download, but the Blu-ray had more matches on it, so that's why I did it.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, we'll,
the extras. Oh, you know what? Random story. You know, at the PWS show, ran into one of Warrior's buddies, and we were just, you know, shooting the shit. So that was really cool too. I wanted to throw that out there too. And just on a side note, I didn't ask him, like, if there was any, like, if he was suffering from something for a long time, but I don't know, for whatever reason, that question didn't enter my mind. But my question did pop in there, like, because his buddy was talking to me about, it's like a point where he ruptured his bicep. He was like, oh, how am I going to, you know, heal from this in a good enough amount of time? The guy's like, oh, HGH. I've been doing it. You've been doing it. And that prompted me to ask him, I was like, was the dude clean when he was dead? Really, you know? And he just looked at me and he was like, for the most part. And I just wanted to start cracking up laughing.
For the most part.
For the most part. So, just wanted to throw that out there. Just, you know, for, since you all know, I got a little inside track on the man. But, because I know a lot of the autopsy was saying, you know, he was clean. But, you know, I wanted, not that his friend is a doctor or anything, but, you know, I just wanted to hear from, and I also want to throw out there too, you know, not to say that, you know, doing these certain things is a bad thing. I guess like, it's like when you really kind of go overboard, that's when things, you know, become bad. But, especially for like older dudes, you ain't going to heal as fast as you did when you were younger. So,
yeah, just say ex Alex Rodriguez from the Yankees, you know?
Yeah.
You
know. So, right. But you know, I just thought that was interesting. I want to throw that out there. Just, you know, we don't need to know anything personal about the man's life, but just wanted to throw that out there for the Warrior fans that listen in.
All right, so let's take care of the elephant in the room. I broke the news earlier this afternoon that that Ring of Honor got picked up by Destination America. That'll debut on June 3rd to coincide with Impact. That's already on there.
Do you think that's a play to move TNA? Because from what I found out from the show last week, was TNA is going to be gone by the fall season.
Now, the Destination America has an out clause in September or October. I forget which month it is. Don't hold me to it. I know they have an out clause. Okay.
Huh.
My questioning now is, why would you move that show, why would you move Impact to Wednesdays knowing that you're going to sign Ring of Honor? That's one question, okay? And I was trying to play devil's advocate today because everybody's like, oh, it's over. As soon as the news dropped, Dixie Carter had some kind of... Because they were floored, apparently. They had no idea this was going to happen. Impact had no idea. Dixie Carter had no idea. So she called some kind of press conference, a conference call with all the talent. Apparently, MVP was on Twitter tweeting like, you know, guys, I'm ready. I'm available for bookings, this, that, and the third. Like, whatever. And he put over Ring of Honor. I've been a fan since VHS days, da-da-da.
Well, he was one of one of the places that he got to start was in ROH.
Right. So let me break it down. How do I feel about it? Are they gonna? They're not going anywhere. That's first of all. Okay. They're only going anywhere if Destination America gives them up. That's it. They'll find somewhere else to go.
Yeah. Because how many different television stations have they been on at this point?
Two.
Was it Fox?
No, Spike and this. They weren't on Fox.
No, wait, what the hell? They were on, wait, run by me the stations that they've been on that Ooh, you know of. There's been more.
I thought it was just Spike and now Spike. Destination America.
No, they were on another station before that.
Okay. Because
if you remember, they were on, they were doing the weekly pay-per-views. Then they had Impact debuted as its own show on, I don't want to say HGTV. What the hell channel was it on?
Not HDNet.
This is a Chicago-based...
Oh, WGN, you mean?
WGN, yeah. I think it was originally on there.
That's where the Cubs are.
Then...
How about a hot dog? I'm sorry. Doing my Harry Carey.
I have no idea what you're quoting.
Harry Carey.
It was either – I think they either jumped onto another TV station or – No. They were on that station, WGN.
Oh, to the –
Then they got dropped, and then they were just an internet television show. And then they got picked up, and I think they got picked up by another station, and then they went to Spike.
Okay. Whatever.
So I'm pretty sure they've been on four TV stations – for nationwide cable.
All right. Well, here's the deal. Okay.
Just going to jump onto another station. That's
I don't think that Destination America is, because they're doing all this radical programming now, because nobody watches fucking Alaskan Bush people.
Well, hey man, that's why America AMC used to be American Movie Classics, and now they're showing like movies from like the 90s
and reality shows. Listen, It's nice when these little networks want to go in another direction. Even nicer when they take wrestling shows. That's good for us because we're wrestling fans. I don't have an issue with any of it because it's only Ring of Honor's TV, local TV show they have now being moved over to this channel. So it's just an outlet for them, and there's minimal damage. Minimal damage. So Dixie Carter, they panicked. I guess the reason why Dixie Carter probably called the press conference was to let her talent know that they still have a company.
Okay? Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. Now,
I think, you know, Dixie Carter's proved time and time again she's not letting go of TNA.
Right. Not only that, she's not very business savvy. And it again, and you know, we've talked about this a million times, that they're not properly ran. You know, it's just
no,
like,
not at all.
She's
that's
like a,
why
she's
I
a glorified
they
money mark.
This kind of trouble.
She's a money mark, and that's fine. But you know, even with Hogan and Bischoff at the helm and Sting at the helm, they couldn't fucking draw. You know what I'm saying?
Also, it comes off like she's continuously trying. She's putting out the effort to prove to other people that she can run this successfully, whether she you know has the know how to do so or not.
And any wrestling fan, I'm gonna say this, and if I piss people off, I really don't care. If you're a real wrestling fan and you shit on a product, listen, if you don't like the product, don't watch it, okay? But if you're going to shit on it for the sake of shitting on it and you don't watch it, then, you know, you're really not a good fan. You know, it's like I haven't watched Lucha Underground in a month and a half. I've watched it before. I like it. But if I said to you, oh, I hate it, but I haven't watched it, you know? But I watch it prior to me not missing. I have a whole bunch of shows because I don't have the LRA network. So I have to watch it on the computer or I watch it on a download when time allows me. But, like, people will shit on these organizations, like, all day on the internet. Oh, TNA's done. They're done. People talk about ratings. Who cares about fucking ratings, man? There's more wrestling on TV. There's more wrestling. But there's more wrestling on TV now, okay?
Wednesday, it's not the Night Wars. Listen, who has more ratings doesn't matter.
You know what, Dave? There's no competition. So ratings.
Let me throw this out there real quick. You know, it didn't even matter during the Monday Night Wars. You know, people that are wrestling fans, it was just like a thing to talk about. It doesn't affect, you know, either company.
Right.
For the fans, at least. No, you know, for if you're just watching it to be entertained, just be entertained. Don't try to act like you're business savvy when you're not.
But besides this glorious show every Wednesday night, you have NXT, you have Impact, and you have Ring of Honor. And you have Lucha Underground if you have El Rey Network. So you have four fucking wrestling shows and a kick-ass podcast at the same time.
And you have the WWE Network. You have New
NXT.
Japan World.
So five. You have five wrestling shows. If you have the WWE Network and you have El Rey and you have Destination America, guess
and New
what?
Japan World.
Well, no, I'm talking about on Wednesdays.
Okay.
You have five shows, not counting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You have five shows, five fucking wrestling shows.
That's a lot.
That's a wrestling fan's wet dream. Stop shitting on the product. Stop. Suspend your fucking disbelief for a little while. Take a breath and embrace it. Okay, if you don't like the product, don't watch it. It's the same thing. If you go to a fucking supermarket, you don't like a certain product, you're not going to buy it. You go to a certain clothing store, you don't like this product, you don't buy it. You don't support them for certain reasons. That's fine. Just don't fucking buy it. Okay? And this goes out for any wrestling fan or show host. If you don't watch a certain product, don't fucking talk about it. Don't talk about it. Like, people all day today on the internet, it's like, oh, fuck this, they're done. Somebody put on Eddie's page today, like, oh, the ratings, they're the highest rated, TNA's the highest rated show on Destination America. Of course it is. Nobody else watches fucking fly fishing anymore. Nobody's going to watch Alaskan Bush People or fucking Ghost Pokers, whatever the fuck they call it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why TNA is the highest rated show. It's the best. Even at TNA's lowest, it's the best show on a network. That's it. When the Nashville network had fucking ECW, that was the highest rated show. And ECW wasn't that good at that point. 1999, 2000. Not that good at all, ECW. Okay? So, listen, stop with the ratings. Okay? You're not fucking the Nielsen people. You're not a cable network. You're a wrestling fan, okay? That's it. The only people who worry about ratings are people who own these companies, people who trade publicly, stuff like that. Or if you're a sports league like the NFL or the Major League Baseball or the NBA or the National Hockey League, those guys worry about Nielsen ratings because those TV contracts pay for the league. You know, they pay the players. They pay that the NFL generates billions of dollars, dude. Billions, not millions anymore, billions, okay? And it's only 16 weeks a year. Okay? It's done. It's done. Like, get over yourselves. Enjoy it. Five fucking programs alone. And if you don't like one of them, put us on. That's it. Pretty much it.
So anyway.
Anyway, moving right along.
The Super Juniors is going down.
When does that start?
Already started.
Already started.
22nd.
All right.
I'm kind of a little ticked with New Japan World. Like, I'm trying to. They only had one full event up for the 22nd. And what's it called? They had three matches from the next day available. But I don't know. I can't. Like, it says that these events are available, but I can't pull them up to watch them. Yeah. So I don't know. I can't give you any more news than that. But I watched the first night and it was really fucking good. And main event was Gedo versus Taguchi, and it was such a great match. And Gedo got the win.
Yeah,
I believe he said that he was trying to go for Prince Devitt's record of a flawless win wins in the Super Junior, which I think was already I think he lost the match the next day, so that wasn't happening. But so far, so good. I'm really excited about the Super Best of the Super Juniors. Was it? It's 22 Best of the Super Juniors. This is my favorite time of the year. This is my WrestleMania.
This is your WrestleMania. This is your favorite time of the year. And we spoke about the Super Juniors before in length, how certain gaijin back in the day cut their teeth a la Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, guys like that have been in the tournament and have became superstars here in the States, you know. So, yeah, it's a good time. I'm sure what I'm more pissed off about New Japan, and I'm glad you're back on, is because everything that I want to watch gets posted for free on the internet. Like, that's the New Japan right now. Every time I go to, you know, if I don't put it on, somebody posts it on the internet. Like, that's the one promotion that I always get a free show on. I'm thinking about just giving it up and just getting it free. Like, I've been getting every event they've had since I've gotten it, someone's been posting it for me online.
Well, I'm going to continue with the service because, first of all, it shows, you know, interest in the service. It's only $8 and change.
Right.
There's a lot of exclusive stuff that's only on New Japan World. And, you know, what else can I say? You know, you get all these live events. Granted, a lot of them are getting posted on Daily Motion, but they're always going to get posted on there. But they're not going to have everything that's on New Japan World. Same thing with WWE Network. You know, it's not going to have everything that's going to be on WWE Network. It's not going to be on YouTube or Daily Motion. It's not going to be the same quality. You know, I'd rather put my money where my mouth is because, you know, at the end of the day, if there's not a demand for it and people aren't paying for it, it's not going to be around.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be, you know, I you have no fucking clue how much I enjoy watching TNT. The first time I ever saw a full episode of TNT was through
the network.
Through the network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't really bother with like clips on YouTube. Only time I've really seen it previously was just you know, the Coliseum home videos. And I don't know, that's just me, you know.
Right.
I occasionally still buy Blu-rays because I want to see things in a certain way.
Yeah,
you know?
That's why I bought the Lowell DVD. I mean, I could have bought, like I said, I could have bought the digital download. I just wanted the more matches. I get what you're saying. I'm not. Yeah. You know, I'm just pissed off that, you know, that's New Japan's the only promotion right now that if I watch something new, or I don't watch it, the next day it gets posted on the internet. It's not like
hey, WrestleMania gets posted the next day.
Yeah,
too.
No, it's no. But it's different, dude. It's different. It's way different. Like, I mean, like,
it just depends on what your level of interest is, you
yeah,
know?
It's different. All right. Any more news before we have three questions from one person, and I have no other news to report unless you have something else. The only thing I have is Ring of Honor's making action figures. So,
I don't really have much else to say other than what I've said already. So, the
kid's pretty excited about that, so I'm happy.
Who's putting them out?
I didn't get the name of the fucking. Hold on a second. Maybe I could try to find it. I didn't get the name of the company, but they showed somebody posted on our page today. I think it was one of the prototypes. Hold on one second. Let me see. Let me try to pull it up here. Dun, dun, dun. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to put Adam Cole in that cage match in my kid's room, mess him up. You know, who posted it? Let's see. I think it was Sugar Shane who posted it. Yeah, here it is. It doesn't say. But I see Steen. I see Adam Cole, the Briscoes. Yeah. So, nice, though. Good stuff. I'm excited. Well, the kid's excited, you know. Gets more action figures for him, you know.
Yeah.
So, all right. I got three questions. We'll take a break. We got a really pretty interesting throwback for you guys tonight. It's something that I thought it was hysterical the way it went down, and we'll get into it. Our buddy Maniac Matt, thanks for calling in last week and hanging out with us, by the way. I met some Matt Squires. Questions for tonight's show.
He's a good chap.
He is a very good chap. He's a good ally, good asset to the show. He's a good, solid dude, man. He's solid. Number one, how great would it have been if Camp Cornette was properly pushed? Anything with Jim Cornette at that point was genius. What do you think about that? if they would have kept it?
I don't know. Properly pushed.
Like a Dangerous Alliance type thing. You know how Paul Lee kept, you know, rotating these fantastic wrestlers, and he had like Rick Rude, Larry Zbysko, Bobby Eaton, Arn Anderson, Steve.
Who was a part of Camp Cornette? You had Owen Hart, Yokozuna Bulldog.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, I guess he meant like how cool would it have been if they would have rotated the heels and, you know, shit like that. I mean, you know, it's actually an open ended question, but I think I knew what he meant.
I think it worked the way, you know, I don't know, just with the way the company was going, you know, that's kind of how it was going to happen anyway. So yeah. I can't comment on it too much because, you know, WWF back then was, you know, the way it was because it is what it is.
Right.
I hate to give like a kind of like, you know, shitty answer like that. But,
I understand. It's an open ended question. How disappointing was the Flair and Macho Man feud to the NWO?
The fact that I can't really remember it.
Yeah, I don't care.
And goes to show.
And he wants to know how epic was the Shark versus Big Bubba Silver Dollar on a pole match.
I remember that one though.
I try not to remember.
It wasn't that bad. You know, it could have been worse.
Speaking of WCW, was it 17 year anniversary today?
Oh. Hold on a second. I just found out they posted more shit on New Japan World for the more events for Best of Super Juniors. My bad. I'm just excited because I want to watch more. Carry on.
I think it's 19 years today. I think it's 19 that Scott Hall made his debut on Nitro, and I played the clip this earlier to open the show.
Do you feel that was a blessing or a curse? That's my question to you, sir.
I thought it was a blessing. I thought that was very well done until they recruited 1,700 people. If they would have kept it at 6-7, maybe 8 guys, and that's it. When they started adding fucking Vincent, your boy Virgil, when they started adding guys like Scott Norton and Buff Bagwell, and, you know, if they would have kept it with the Giant, Hall, Nash, Hogan, you know, like a couple more of the guys, key guys, and they would have been fine. But when there was like 20 guys coming out and everybody had shirts on, it was just ridiculous. And then they broke up, they had the black and red, they had the silver, they had the Latino World Order, it was just retarded.
Yeah, but the Latino World Order wasn't connected to the NWO.
But it was
just kind of like their rally cry to be.
Yeah, but it was underlooked. It was an extension, and I think it was just it was funny, but it got retarded, you know. So that's my take on it. I think it was a blessing. I thought Hall and Nash were great at the time, and I thought Hogan as the third guy was fantastic. You know, and Kevin Sullivan was the Booker man at that point.
Hey man, you know, if they ran NWO for 1-2 years strong, then had them lose and dissolve.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. All right. So that's pretty much it for our current. We got a kick-ass throwback for you tonight. Take a quick break, plug some shit, and we'll be back. We got a Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast rant. emradio.com. As always, a Shining Wizards Network production, and we'll be right back.
Consideration paid for by the following.
Coming this summer to Rant, emradio.com.
No, I want this.
Food eating challenge of the century. Mr. X, Rage the Creator, and over 200 White Castles. Who will be victorious? Who will puke their fucking guts up? You'll have to find out at Castle Slam 2015, coming this summer to rantemradio.com.
Yo, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. When you're done with our show, head back on over to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. That's right, the mothership, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. We have 10 amazing shows right now for your listening pleasure. We have the Neckbreaker Podcast, the Thursday Night Destruction with Dave Destruction from Pro Wrestling Syndicate, The Midnight Jury and their sister podcast, After Midnight. The Inconclusive Breakdown podcast. The Apex Radio podcast, part of Apex Wrestling Entertainment. Of course, you have the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with myself and Dave Megapowers. Two and a Half Wrestlers, Pat Buck, Kevin Matthews, Jay Silva, and Brian Myers. The King of the Indies podcast with the OG of PMA himself, Mr. Kevin Gill. And, of course, the Shining Wizards. So what the hell are you waiting for? ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's entertainment here. Yo, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. When you're done with our show, head on over to RantEMRadio.com. That's right, RantEM Radio, covering all your pop culture and pro wrestling needs with 10 amazing shows. How about Freaks and Effing Geeks, The Rant, Turnbuckle Throwbacks with myself and the Mega Powers, The Wrestling Call-In Show, The What Are You Reading comic book show, That Awful Podcast, The Thursday Night Delight, The Rexplex, Rant and Wrestling, and the Lex Entertainment Experience. So what are you guys waiting for? Rant Entertainment Media, RantEMRadio.com. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio.
Every Friday, the 80s and 90s are back on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio, The Jury transports you back to the days of Walkmans, VHS, arcades, and malls. Covering the best in pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror. From reviews to interviews and everything in between, we want you to get on board every Friday and travel back to the last old school generation. The Midnight Jury is a production of WLWStudios.com and a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah.
Stop now. Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe!
Now he only hit her one time.
He said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog, but I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Now he's more of a man than rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show.
That was all right. So disrespectful.
Alright.
Nah, Steve, I can't have you.
That's
you,
why your girl's, about, like, that's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Ike. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show. Every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Oh, here she comes. Watch out, boy. She'll chew you up. Oh, here she comes. She's a man eater. Oh, here she comes. Watch out, boy.
Right. She's a man eater, Dave.
Watch out, Phil. She'll chew you up.
Yeah, Diana Hart, man. She's a man eater. And I just need an excuse to play Hall & Oates because I love Hall & Oates. But yeah. Anyway, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Yeah, I want to. You know, I had to bring this up. It just popped up into my head right now because I'm looking at it right now. Was it recently? Picked up these energy shots. Still a bit addicted to these, but I found some Stacker 2 energy shots.
Stacker, Listen,
they're not the YJ Stingers, but
dude, I had a bunch of my EMT and medic friends on that shit, man. It was like we all did it for like 6 months back in the day. It was crazy.
Yeah, man. What was it? Well, what was it? I don't know. Like recently, like I fucking not recently for a while, just been having like these like wrist problems. I don't know if it's because like I'm on the computer all day. But just been having some issues with it for a long time, you know, nothing serious, but recently, yeah, I was at the underground strength gym, jumped up to do a, pull up and, I don't know, maybe I was just like a little too psyched. I was jumping up to do this pull up. Cause when I landed, like my right hand just kind of like, I guess like jammed up against it or something like that. And, just in a lot of pain after that. But, this morning I had the Stacker 2, it's like a B12 vitamin shot, 10,000% B12.
Oh Jesus!
In the thing, but what was it? Initially, like when I was having some of these issues, like I thought it was like carpal tunnel or something from like typing, you know, since forever. And but it has like 200% B6 in it, and I had this fucking thing in the morning, and it felt like there's like no pain. Granted, I don't have like a lot of pain in my wrist, but it just like relieved what little pain was there right. For like an hour or two. So Stacker 2, the rescue.
Right, and a bunch of crap in it that makes you tachycardic and makes your heart skip beats and gives you arrhythmia and a whole bunch of shit. So I can't fuck with that.
Yeah, man, I gotta finish what I have and be done with it.
Yeah, dude, you don't want
to. I enjoy having those in the morning just to get shit done.
I gotta weed off the energy drinks, man. I'm a two monster. 4 days a week I drink monsters, man. Like two a day, and even though they're sugar free and stuff, they're still bad for you.
Two a day for how many days a week?
4 days a week.
Good God.
Yes, yeah, so I gotta get off that shit, man. Skip, you know.
Actually, I'll just have like an energy shot in the morning, and then that's it. But yeah, I need to switch to like a cleaner.
Because I don't do coffee. Like I don't do coffee, and the guys at work are like, you got to do coffee. It's better than the fucking energy shit that you're drinking. So I have to try to switch.
You know, and at the end of the day, you know, I'm just trying to like slap myself over the head for this because, like, for the longest time, I didn't drink coffee. I think like the biggest like you know energy boost for the day would be a soda for me, like especially as a kid. But you don't need to have like all this shit in your system. Sometimes you just got to be fucking tired and work through it.
Yeah, no. The problem is my day starts like 4 hours when my shift starts. You know what I'm saying? So like it's a long day as is.
Yeah.
So by the time I get to work, I'm already been up for 5 hours. You know what I'm saying? So like I'm fucking an hour into my shift, I'd be tired. So these two energy drinks they keep me going, but I gotta do something else, you know?
Yeah, you know, even look into some teas. There's some teas that are you know, pack some like hearty caffeine in it. Like,
yeah, I gotta do that.
It's like some like English teas that I had recently, and like, fuck, I'm awake. What happened?
Yeah. All right.
Like American tea, don't feel that way, but
right.
Good shot.
All right, so let's get into our throwback tonight. I was a little bit vague in a description this week for a couple of reasons. As I'm doing research for this particular episode, I found myself like just looking at a calendar of that particular year and then the months that like this is being the fifth month of that particular year. A lot of things are going down in pro wrestling. So you're about 3 years into Raw. You're about a year into Nitro. Okay. And you could see now just by tonight's throwback and by what's going on in WCW, that there's a transition going on. There's a transition going on, and you see, like, the writing's a bit edgier. I don't want to say the attitude that really didn't kick in yet, but you could tell that they, like, drastic moves were being made, and they were slowly trying to get away from the gimmick. You know, like the Cowboys and Indians, the Sultans and all this other shit, you know, the Godwins. And this was like the last of the Mohicans, so to speak. They were trying to move and just make edgier characters, not go away from characters at all, but just make edgier characters for the time. It's the mid-90s. It's ECW is in like fucking full swing at this point. the music world got a slap in the face from Seattle. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's things going on. You know, TV's getting a bit edgier. Reality shows are now kicking in. Like, it's a time of transition.
And yeah, man. It was, you know, the hair bands were gone. You know, Nirvana was taking over. But, you know, people just wanted things a bit, you know, more real. Even though what mainstream media, especially wrestling, you know, took things a little too far, in my opinion. Even as a kid, I wasn't too down with a lot of the shit that was going on. But this is what people wanted.
Right.
And so, it's what was going down.
Right. So let's kick it to the Florence Civic Center in Florence, South Carolina. I think this is the only time the WWF had a pay-per-view there at that point. And this was the In Your House series. They did a monthly pay-per-view called In Your House. And this was before they had 17 million different names for all these pay-per-views.
I guess this was like their answer to keep up with WCW.
Pretty much, In Your House. And it wasn't a bad concept. They had some really good In Your Houses.
Well, hey, it was 2 hours long. Wasn't it like during the week or was it on a Sunday?
I believe it was on a Sunday. Well, this one was I don't remember the days, but this was 2 days, and we'll get into that in a minute. But
2 hours, good wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Todd Pettengill giving away a house.
Right.
I always hated that In Your House theme song.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to play it, but I don't like it either.
Yeah, good.
I don't like it.
I wonder who was like, you know, like, hey.
So the 26th was
In Your House song. We need somebody to cut this track.
Sorry, Dave. The 26th was on a Sunday.
Okay.
And then the 28th was obviously a Tuesday.
I remember I was getting some of the original ones. I don't know if I was watching them at this point, but I actually watched it a few months ago. So this was still relatively fresh in my memory.
Right.
Before watching it again this week.
All right. So here's what happened. There was an issue with lighting. On the 26th, they had, well, first of all, you mentioned Todd Pettengill, but Todd Pettengill wasn't there this night. Doc Hendricks was doing, and Kurt Hennig were doing the announcing. I mean, the comment, you know, the backstage stuff, and
yeah,
you know, Doc Hendricks, or AKA Michael Hayes, was the hype man. He was the gate all the time. So,
but he didn't have the fucking sirens going off.
No. Jim Ross was there. Doing commentary on the second night were perfect. Now, what had happened was the first night, which is the original, there was a lighting issue.
Because of a storm.
There was a major storm in that area. And it happened, I believe, during the Steve Austin-Savio Vega match. So what had happened was they initially had a 6,000 person audience for the first night and 4,500 the second night because they had to go back and do the cards over, but
they had to finish it over so they could have a full pay per view.
Right. So
we all know how Vince is.
Yeah, and you know what? This was unheard of, but the card itself wasn't terrible.
No, I was actually kind of when you brought it up at first, I was kind of like, oh, really? And In Your House from '96, and then like, it's like, oh, you know, I watched this recently. And then when I was going back through it, I enjoyed it more just watching it again. Because there's some really good shit on here.
You have to understand, too, there's so many guys now on this particular pay-per-view that are just getting into their careers in terms of, I mean, guys like Triple H and Steve Austin and Undertaker. Like, all these guys were like, they would wind up saving the company. You know, they would wind up being major players in the next couple of years. So seeing them in their characters in their infancy, because Austin had just came over as the ringmaster at that point. He just came from ECW. You know, Triple H was still doing the, you know, the fucking, the aristocrat fucking gimmick, you know.
Yeah.
And Undertaker was, you know, getting killed and coming back to life every other pay-per-view.
You know? If I remember correctly, this was kind of Triple H kind of like on his upturn after the whole The Madison Square Garden incident.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but he was the fall guy because he was the greenhorn out of everybody. So he took the fall. If you haven't watched the Triple H documentary, King of Kings or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
You know, he goes more in depth with it. And basically, you know, when the final farewell for Nash and Hall happened at Madison Square Garden, Triple H was part of the celebration victory. And as a result, his run was cut short and basically had to start at the bottom. And I think I may be quoting him on point. He said that he had to learn how to eat shit and like it.
Yep. So let's get into the first night. Before the event went on, they played a little bit. I actually found a bit of the pre-show. They used to have a thing called the free-for-all. What they would do is they would give you 30 minutes of, I guess it's not a dark match, but they would give you how they do it now with the pre-show. They gave what they call a free-for-all. They would give you a match and or a preview of the card, or just a half an hour preview of the card, and just, you know, all the stuff, all the events leading to particular matches. So before the event aired live, there was a tag team championship match. The tag team championship was going to be defended that night. It was the Godwins against the Smoking Guns.
Oh, God.
Now, right before the match, Sonny appears and tells Doc Hendricks that she is going to be a secondary manager to Hillbilly Jim for the Godwins. So now you already see the writing on the wall. The Guns doing a heel turn and
yeah, I remember this too. Like,
right.
I really didn't like this match. Just because, like, I don't know, like the Smoking Guns' heels, like, well, you know, I could see that working because I just didn't like them from the get go.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but this was like around the time when they kept, if you thought Sonny was being tossed around by a bunch of guys nowadays, she was getting thrown around to like every tag team, like after the Body Donnas, and it was just kind of like,
she
felt that they didn't know what to do with her, but at the same time, if Sonny got thrown in with somebody, you know, that was guaranteed that they were going to get more attention put onto them. So, you know, it wasn't a bad thing.
Right.
But didn't mean that the Smoking Guns were going to be any better than they were previously.
Right. So the guns win the belts for, I think, the third time at this point. They obviously doing the heel turn. Sonny distracts one of the Godwins and, you know, how that goes.
Yeah. It just had, like, this weird... they were supposed to be brothers, but they both had a thing for Sonny, so that, you know, even as a kid, creepy, that kind of struck me weird.
But here's the thing. Everybody in the ring can go. Like, the Godwins were good workers. Billy Gunn was amazing. Bart Gunn held his own. Now, looking back at it now, 20 years later, you know, almost 20 years later, it's like it's just to see these guys in the ring now. Like all these guys are sound, you know, and the mullets, those fucking cowboy mullets, amazing.
I'll have to disagree. I was not a fan whatsoever. Still not a Smoking Guns fan at all.
That's fine.
I will not even do the pistol hand gesture, even in jest.
Okay,
not a fan.
All right. Well, that was your free for all match. And Doc Hendricks at that point gets the hype crowd. What you don't see is a dark match. You know how I love my dark match.
Doc Hendricks' shitty band playing before the show. Either.
Oh yeah, his wannabe Leonard Skinner band. There was a dark match. You know how Phil likes his dark matches. Bob Sparkplug Holly defeats Dr. Isaac Yankum, DDS, another wrestler that would say wound up saving the company in Kane. You know. Weird that Bob Holly, they put Bob Holly over a big, you know, Dr. Isaac. That was a shitty gimmick for him, man.
He
went from the Unabomber to a dentist to a demon, and now he's a demon. He's a corporate demon. He could sell fucking shirts and Sears.
I'll say this: the Bret Hart, Jerry the King Lawler feud was great when it first started off, but I think it was when Dr. Isaac Yankum came into play, which was kind of like, okay, like, I know this guy is going to lose. It doesn't matter how big he is, how strong he looks. He's
but dude,
lose.
they gave him top billing. They put him in a cage match with Bret Hart at one point. Like, you know,
I understand, but that didn't last very long.
Yeah, but dude, they gave you're in a main event with that shit gimmick. So
yeah.
they had faith in Glenn Jacobs, but that fucking character, come on, dude, that was awful.
Yeah, now he's doing the free for all for the show.
Yeah.
Or the dark match.
He's doing a dark match at this point.
Not even the free for all, the dark.
Well, he was still new at that point. They brought him over from Memphis or Smoky Mountain, one of them, I forget. All right, your first match officially was the Wild Man Mark Merrow with Sable at his side. Sable, I never like disliked Sable, but she always looked out of place. Like before she would strip down and show her nothings, but like
yeah, I think that was pretty much the best part of
yeah. The thing with Sable was like tonight, this particular night, she comes out with this like leather suit. This like with the dominatrix looking type of gimmick that she had going on, right? But my thing was, like, she looked like she didn't like the suit, like the suit it didn't fit her very well. Like, you know, normally it'd be like all tight around the tits, like it was bulky a little bit and like it sagged yeah. by her legs, and not to say she was she wasn't like a terrible character or anything, well, not like she wasn't beautiful and she had a
physically she was in her prime.
She had a great body, but like that suit just didn't fit her. And I'm reaching a little bit, but I noticed it more now watching it again 19 years later, you know? Okay. So
actually funny enough, this was my match of the night.
Fighting
outside of the main event.
Taking on Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yeah.
And again, this is Triple H, you know, doing his thing. And he played that character so well, and I thought, and I'm not a big fan of Mark Merrow, but they put on a really good match.
I think Mark Merrow is really underrated, and I think that, you know, is due in part to some of the characters that he's portrayed, but,
yeah,
you know, was it Sugar Shane is saying in the chat room right now, best fucking shooting star ever? Dude was graceful as hell.
Yeah,
you know, for his weight and his body type, you know, he was doing, you know, a lot of the high flying moves that a guy his size wouldn't be doing.
Yeah, 250, 240.
Yeah, he was doing the sunset flips off the top rope. I don't know, just a lot of I can't recall at the moment right now, but just a lot of like high flying stuff. Like his repertoire wasn't all high flying stuff, but when he would pull it out, he'd be like, holy shit. But I think the guy was better, like his talent was better than the gimmicks that he was put in. And I don't know, he just doesn't, you know, for me, he has the body type of a champion, I guess you could say, but just not the personality or the character of a champion. So, you know, as far as a world heavyweight champion, but we all know that can change. But regardless, really skilled wrestler. This match was my Flair Steamboat or Steamboat Savage match of the night.
Yeah, yeah.
They really pulled out all the stops with this.
Yeah, the at one point, Helmsley goes to put on a pedigree, and Merrow countered obviously grabs the legs and does like a slingshot catapult.
Yeah.
And now they do the whole ring post, I'm knocked out. And that's how Merrow gets the win at 16-23.
That's a really old school finish, and felt the match was a tad long in that respect. You know, for the con side of it all, but I actually enjoyed the finish. You know, that's probably a finish that you can't really get away with nowadays, unless the story is told right. But it was just so old school. I love it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoy it a lot. Let's see. Give me one second.
The next match was the World Heavyweight Championship match.
Right. Which was... No, well, the first night... No. The first night was the 26th.
Well, as far as the what was aired, you know, for the replay, I'm going by what's on the network. I'm not going to... There's a lot of, like, matches that were shown on that original pay-per-view. I haven't seen the original pay-per-view possibly since it aired, so I don't recall any of the stuff that happened like during that was fought in dark.
All right, well all right, no problem. So your next match was Well, the next match was supposed to be a Caribbean strap match with Steve Austin and Savio Vega.
That's when the lights went out.
Yeah, but they fucking put on a clinic the next night.
But, yeah.
At the beginning of the match, like Dave mentioned, there was a storm, power to the arena, and all the satellite trucks, everything went out. The feed got cut. So this match, along with the other matches, with little light, didn't broadcast. The power was restored, though, before the ring entrances for the main event, which was Shawn Michaels against the British Bulldog. Now, leading up to this, Michaels was served a summons from the British Bulldog's attorney, Clarence Mason. Let's talk about Clarence Mason for a minute.
Dude was a legit lawyer, from what I hear.
He was an attorney and a pro wrestler. His real name was Herman Stevens.
Herman Stevens?
Right, and he was also...
the whitest black guy name I've ever heard in my life.
He also portrayed Jay Biggs in WCW.
Yes. Or Harlem Heat 2000.
Yeah, Harlem Heat 2000. He was managed... Jay Biggs was... Chris Canyon managed him, if you remember that. And then Biggs picked up, like Dave mentioned, they were Harlem Heat 2000, if you remember that. After leaving WCW, he retired to South Florida, which I think since the rant is based out of South Florida, I think he's involved with the proceedings, and he has an office out of Delray Beach. So I think AA is retaining his services for the for Castle Slam.
I wonder if AA used his services when he got into that car accident.
Yeah.
Not long ago.
Uh-oh, hold on a minute. Joining us now is the co-host of The Rant and one half of Black Hammer and White Lightning, Mr. Tony C. How are you, sir?
Fellas, I heard we were talking about a British slut bag named Diana Smith, so I had to come out of the woodworks and testify how she tried to frame that great American known as Shawn Michaels.
How big of a wench this woman is.
So anyway, Clarence Mason, a.k.a. Jay Biggs.
It's Uncle Tom.
decides to serve the American hero Shawn Michaels with a summons.
For an alienation of affection. Is that even a real
exactly
thing?
Exactly. Yeah, that was a trumped up charge if I ever heard it.
And this is where Johnny Cochran should be stepping in and being like, due to the allegations, of course, now the whole thing is him making advances at Bulldog's wife, Tony C, put it so eloquently. Would you call her a British
slut bag?
A British slut bag.
British slut bag.
In storyline and real life, Diana
Come
Hart
dumpster.
Smith. Come dumpster, right.
Exactly.
Shout out to
her. Never heard her try to accuse the great American known as Shawn Michaels at that time.
So
fornicating with a married woman.
So
exactly. That,
right. So now it caused a strain in the marriage. The timing of the subpoena was an attempt to obviously throw HBA off the game, and the Bulldog wanted that upper hand to win the title. You know,
you'll never taste that sweet, sweet gold.
So,
never.
Here's one thing that bothered me about Shawn. You guys know I was never a big Shawn Michaels fan. Although I would never, shit on him in terms of talent because the guy oozed. He was so good in the ring, you know, and he was one of the guys that pretty much helped Vince save the company a couple of years later, you know, before he got hurt himself.
This was before he lost his smile, right?
This is before he lost his smile. Yes, before he lost his smile, Tony. Right. This is, you know, I had a problem with Jose Lothario. I don't know why.
You know what, Phil? You are not a full-blooded American. How can you have a problem with Jose Lothario?
No.
He's
not,
super sock, for crying out loud.
For some reason... Like, do you remember the training montage that... Remember when he fought Brett? I think it was the Iron Man match when he played that
WrestleMania 12.
Right. Remember the whole vignette of him training in San Antonio and Jose Lothario was with him? And, like, Right. It got you pumped up, but it looked like a makeshift Rocky movie. Like, it was so, like, all I kept thinking about was like, where's Paulie? Where's Tony? You know, where's Apollo?
He's a Mexican Mick.
He's a Mexican Mickey. And I felt like I didn't like Mexican Mickey. Again, Jose Lothario was a legend in Southwest wrestling. Nothing by him. He was probably an amazing talent from what I read. But I just didn't like the character. I felt like Shawn Michaels didn't need that. I think he still needed that dime piece with him, like, you know, like a Sherry or something. You know what I'm saying? Like a woman. I didn't think it just didn't fit. You know what I'm saying?
Phil, 6 months later from this time, Jose Lothario did the impossible. He took a $20,000 camera to the chest. At the Survivor Series.
All right.
Have you ever taken a $20,000 camera to the chest, Phil?
I have not.
Exactly.
Gentlemen, I have not.
So please eat your words on the live rant.
Again, I'm not taking anything. I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm not. You know, I'm not taking anything away from him. I just feel like the character didn't fit Shawn Michaels' character.
He took a camera to the chest.
I understand what he did. I'm not saying he was a bad guy or a bad talent. I just, it's like, you know, when you're mixing oil and vinegar and the oil or in the water, like separate.
You're describing a Subway sandwich, Phil.
Yeah,
which are delicious. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. I just didn't think it didn't look right on TV.
So you're saying HBK didn't need Jose?
No, he did. He was all flashy. He wore like the costumes and fucking swung from the rafters. And here comes fucking Tex-Mex, fucking Pancho.
Tex-Mex,
Pancho Villa.
How dare you ring
the bell? Here comes fucking Pancho Villa and his fucking and his button down shirt and his fucking jewelry, his hand jewelry.
Probably down to a Marty Robbins song, I'm sure.
Yeah, pretty much. You know. You know, we're going to be surrounded by a whole bunch of them next year in Dallas for WrestleMania.
Exactly. That's true.
But, like,
true.
I couldn't get invested.
I don't think you, if they hear this in Texas, you won't be allowed to come to Mania because Jose Lothario is a legend there in Texas.
Listen.
Yeah, Phil's going to have a hard time getting through the airport.
Listen, have you seen the size of Mr. X? I'll be with Mr. X in Dallas, so you know what? I got some muscle. I have my fucking diesel with
you
me.
You and Mr. X can take on all of Mexico and Mexicans.
Oh, okay. Well, either way.
And the Mexicans.
Mr. X is big, but he's not as big as Texas.
No, exactly. Everything's bigger in Texas. So when I land in Texas, I'm going to be ginormous. Okay? So don't get it twisted, boys, all right?
You're going to be a skinny fellow over there in Texas, Phil.
Phil, you have the unmitigated gall to dislike a man that took a camera to the chest.
Unmitigated.
In sacrifice of his client.
Tony C using big words tonight. It's fantastic.
Oh, man.
Hey, man, you're taking it back from our buddy Herman over there.
Paging Mr. Herman.
Sold out.
Mr. Herman.
Herb's head.
Mr.
So not only do we have Uncle Tom being talked about on this pay-per-view, we have a little speck of culture racism by Phil Rea here toward Jose Lothario.
Again, man, wasn't feeling the character. You know, if Shawn Michaels wore shit kickers and jeans to the ring and maybe a gallon hat all the time, then maybe I would.
He did, but he did later on.
Later on in life, he's dressed up like Jose Lothario. If he would have dressed like Jose Lothario 20 years ago, I would have gotten the character a little more than I was. So,
you know, I want to add on to how much of a cum dumpster Diane Hart was.
Do tell.
Yeah, this was a former Miss Canada, I believe. And she had the nerve in the most unsexiest manner to say on the mic, "Sean, I know you want me." And you know what? I think I said it more sexier than she did. And it was so unconvincing. So disrespectful to Shawn Michaels, the great American hero, the son of the super kick. And to make these kind of false allegations in the most unconvincing of manners.
I think we lost Tony C. But
he'll be back.
He'll be back.
He'll be backing me up too. That was, in my opinion, one of the worst moments in wrestling history.
Well,
anything that Diana Hart has had her hands in.
Listen,
her sticky fingers.
You know, and getting back to Texas, I got Sugar Shane, I got Stevie Ray, I got Mr. X coming. I got a crew, dude.
Got a click.
I got a click with me in Texas next year. So don't get it twisted. All right, I'll bring my fucking shit kickers and my Brooklyn Gallon hat. and I'll take some fucking names, brother. You don't get me. Don't get me started. Anyway,
we'll see how it goes, man. Do me a favor. When you're in Texas, talk some shit about Jose Lothario, Super Sock.
I'm gonna go to
what happens next.
Right. I'm gonna go to the biggest Tex-Mex restaurant they have, and I'm gonna fucking name drop Jose Lothario. And the first fucking dude that gets nasty with me, I'm gonna give him a fucking super kick.
They'll be hitting up some chain Mexican restaurant like Chi-Chi's.
There's actually my son just DVR'd, because Mikey's all about Texas, man. He DVR'd some cooking channel show that Emerald's on. Hold on a second. Now you guys open the fucking floodgates. All right. Sugar Shane, what's up, brother?
Hey, I'm just going to let you know, you're going to have the Harris Brothers Nation domination with you.
I told them, dude, I got you, I got Stevie Ray, I got fucking Mr. X. Don't get the two Suburbans in a hearse. We're going to be killing them down there.
I mean, I'm just saying, you're going to have DOA and, you know, Nation of Domination with you.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
And all of you can't contain Jose Lothario's crew when he hears about this.
Don't mess with Texas.
I'm gonna plaster this all over
there. See, now they're trying to incite a fucking Mexican revolution, Shane. You see this shit?
It's gonna be the Alamo all over again.
You know, Tony C, Black Hammer, I know exactly what's gonna happen. You know, these guys are gonna get together. They're gonna hit up Chi-Chi's, and they're gonna dispute the bill, saying, "Hey, you know, I didn't ask for
no, no, Mikey,
guacamole."
Mikey taped the whole thing on the Cooking Channel about all the hot spots to go to. And
it's a hodgepodge.
There's a really old school Mexican restaurant in Dallas
called Chi-Chi's.
There's the Mecca, which is there's a place called the Mecca, which is like a breakfast type diner. And then there's another spot. I forgot the name of it already, but it's been around since like the early 1900s.
Probably called Jose's.
No, it's not called Jose's. It's not called Jose's. You guys are fucking shit stars, is what you are. That's what you guys are. That's the bottom line.
If you go to a restaurant, there's always a sign that says, "We reserve the right to serve anybody we want." And you're going to walk into Jose's, and they're going to be like, "Sorry,
sir." Mr. X is going
to
eat all the food.
Call you, sir. They're just going to point to the door so you can walk back.
They can't make enough food for the crew I'm bringing, man. They can't make enough.
We heard what you said about our legend, local legend known as Jose Lothario. When you landfill, you guys are flying into the Jose Lothario International Airport. You guys don't even know it.
Are we really?
Yeah, and you're going to be hit with a subpoena for an alienation of affection towards Jose Lothario.
Exactly.
And I know Phil's going to have like that dumb look on his face, and he's going to be like, "Jose,
is that kind of party?
I know you want me."
Yep.
You see this shit? See this shit I got to deal with tonight, Shane? You see this shit?
When you step off the plane, somebody's going to hit you in the chest with a camera.
Wow. So how's that taste? $1,000. It's going to be cool.
Can we get back to fucking Diana Hart Smith, please?
That cunt.
So this woman, you know, accuses Shawn Michaels in the most unconvincing of manners that, you know, he tried to bone her, try to bring her to the bone zone. That was not the case. Shawn Michaels is a good guy. You know, I'm sure.
Upstanding American.
He's taken over for Lex Luger because Lex Luger, had to go back to WCW, show him how it's done.
Yeah. That fucking guy.
Shout out to Mega Powers in that picture he posted of Lex on Memorial Day, too.
Oh, that was classic.
I go pro. You gotta want it.
Man, we gotta remember our American heroes like Lex Luger.
Yeah,
damn right.
You see, Dave has an American heroes list on his wall. It's John Wayne, it's Jackie Chan, and fucking And Lex Luger. That's it.
Both George Bushes.
And both George Bushes, yeah.
Oh, man.
including the guy that played George Bush on That's My Bush.
Mega Powers, the closet Republican.
You know, I've actually had some people say to me, like, you know, you sound like a Republican when I talk about certain things. I'm like, no, nah, I'm not.
But he's not. That's the thing. Somebody said that to me, too. And I'm like, no, he
does not care about politics whatsoever.
He has no.
I don't know, Phil, the way you hate on old people, old Mexican people. I don't know.
Listen to me.
That Phil's the Republican.
I've been a registered independent since 1992. All right. So don't you fucking, both you guys, don't get it twisted. All right. Bunch of savages.
Orderly on.
Yeah. All right, there, Vato. The crack in the face though she gave to HBK was classic. You know, I mean, it wasn't like it was heartfelt, but, I mean, she hit him really, got him right in the puss, you know, it was really a nice slap.
Right in the puss, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't fucking.
Wish that Shawn Michaels hit her in the puss.
Yeah, probably. There was rumors of him hitting Sonny at that point, too. They all took turns on her, apparently. That was a rumor.
Sonny had more turns than the doorknob.
Yeah.
Oh. You know that.
Laid more track than Amtrak, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man. You know, good thing Shawn Michaels got her while she was in her prime.
Before
that tread came off that tire. Hey, right.
Man. You know, I've been hearing some stories about some people that I know that have had opportunities in past. And, you know, if I had an opportunity, I would totally pass. Because, you know, if I were to lift up this woman and slam her, I'm sure I would get $10,000 from Bobby the Brain Heenan for doing so. So I'm not going to be touching that woman as she is now. But anyway.
Can we finish this match or?
So we haven't even started the match.
Right. So
talking about the backstory.
Right. All right. All right. So now all the chips have been laid out.
You know, first of all British people are liars, so we found that. Exactly. I've been talking about that since day one. British Bulldog
sure have.
And his no good wife, if you even want to call her that.
She's his concubine, if you ask me. But
something like that.
Oh, jeez.
She, you know, lady of the night.
They believe in marriage over there across the pond.
Shout
if you even want to call it that.
Shout out to all UK fans.
I think it's called Beat Your Wife and Drug Her So You Can Have Anal Sex.
Oh, boy.
And I think that's what it's called over in England.
Yeah.
It's that kind of party tonight, Shane. You hear this,
so,
right?
So, anyway, the match.
The match. The World Heavyweight title match.
WWF title.
WWF title.
I heard both of these guys were pissed off going into the match because they had to endure the lights being off. But this is
somebody called the Wambulance.
You know what? 6,000 and all 6,000 people were pissed.
I can understand. You know, when you're an artist, you know, whether you're a professional wrestler or you know, painting a picture or, you know, a musician or whatever. Everybody has like this kind of like weird, you know, kind of vision of what they want to have done, and it's not going to happen.
No, I agree. I think
it's just not going to happen. It's just like this like big grand picture of what they're expecting is going to happen.
The same thing when we do the show, man. It's the same thing. Like we have, you know, I didn't expect this to happen tonight with you knuckleheads and then the Lothario thing. I just said
I told you. I let you
know. You said you were calling in about the British. I didn't care for Jose Lothario's character on TV, and you guys
we didn't care for your opinion on that. So.
Obviously you didn't. Exactly. Right.
Neither is the state of Texas.
You know what?
I live in Texas.
I'm gonna hang up on both of you. I'm gonna hang up on both.
Look better, Shane.
You know what? How about me and Shane just finish the fucking show and you guys can go
You know what? That would be discriminatory practices.
Hey, we can have our own World War III, haven't we?
The alienation of affection, as some people would, as Herman would say.
Floating
Mr. Herbert. Mr. Herbert, do you have a telephone call at the front desk? Paging Mr. Herbert. I love that shit. All right. The match, okay? At one point in the match, in storyline, the Bulldog knocks out Earl Hebner. He probably needed to be knocked out anyway because he was doing some shady shit the last 10 years of his career at that point.
Selling some referee shirts behind the WWE's back.
Yeah,
hey,
so,
you know what? Is tonight Bash Old People Night on Turnbuck? First, we do.
Did I mention anything remotely about Earl being old? I said he's fucked up. He cost your boy the championship a couple of years prior to this. No, he didn't.
I thought that was Dave Hebner who did
both,
it.
Yeah, well, he was involved. The twin, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was on a tape.
Ah, see what I'm saying? So right away, it's about an old issue. It's not about an old issue. It's a dumb issue. So dumbass Earl Hebner gets knocked out.
Of course.
Here comes Mike.
It wasn't a WWF title match in the 90s.
If Earl Hebner didn't get knocked out. Exactly. And it wasn't a 90s match either if Mike Chioda didn't come out and continue the match.
Of course.
Mike Chioda comes out to finish the match.
Hey, man, you got to have a second string player, you know, throw in there.
So.
He was Earl Hebner's understudy. So
before we get into the finish of the match, I just want to, again, watching this again 20 years later, I still can't believe that Michaels got, even though Bulldog helped him a little bit, Michaels got him up for that German suplex.
Yeah, he lifted his dead ass up.
Dude,
in the air.
Which Shawn Michaels is barely at this point 220 pounds. Maybe 30, if that.
Doesn't, say how strong the man is.
Yeah, but he doesn't look the part. I'm not saying he's not strong. I'm saying he doesn't look the part to pick up fucking 270-pound British Bulldog, you know? And Bulldog is just a massive man, you know? So Michaels does the German suplex into the combination pinfall, right? So by this time, Earl wakes up, and now both refs again a 90s
mid-match nap.
Right, the mid-match nap. He wakes up now again. 90s finish. Both refs wake up. Both refs make the pinfall. Okay, you count 1, 2, 3, and both wrestlers had their shoulders on the mat. So Mike Chioda counted Michaels, while Hebner counted the Bulldog. And at that point, Diana Hart Smith grabs the belt.
That freaking slut bag.
And what did she do with it, Mega Powers?
The photo that I posted was just priceless. She's holding the belt over her head with that
upside
blank look on her face. Well, it's not a blank look. It's just like a just constantly like disappointed look on her face that she's always had.
Like, I know this isn't my husband's belt, but hell.
Yeah, you know, it's like we didn't win the championship legitimately, so I'm gonna act like we won it, and she storms off. But the referee grabs the belt back, hands it back to the real champion, Shawn Michaels,
the real world champion at that time.
Yeah,
right. So the match was ruled a draw, and obviously Michaels retains the belt because you can't win the belt on unless you get pinned or submitted. And that's pretty much the first night.
And that was the closest the British Bulldog would be to becoming WWF champion until 1999.
Didn't he? He was in WCW prior to this, though, right?
For 93.
When he had the fucking.
Yeah.
When he teamed up with.
Sting for the Beach Blast.
Sting. Yeah.
Against the Masters of the Powerbomb.
That's right, Sid and Vader, who had the match the night after.
They had the War Games.
No, I'm talking about the night after, which is the day the 28th of May at this point.
The match with Yoko.
Yeah, Yoko's. You know what's weird about that was Mr. Fuji being a face face manager. Holding the American flag. That was weird.
Yeah, that didn't sit well
with
me.
That was weird, dude. Right? Like, he was...
Hey, man.
That was kind of off.
Even the most fiendish, devilish human beings on the planet all know that there comes a time to repent to the great United States of America.
So, the encore presentation of this pay-per-view was held that following Tuesday, and it wasn't 6,000 people anymore. It was 4,500 at this point. Because the other fucking 1,500, like, I'm staying home because the light's going to go out again. I'm not fucking with this. So,
and what did they do? They did it after, like, a Raw or something like that?
I have no idea. But the first match was that Caribbean Strap match with Austin and Savio Vega. The stipulation...
Races match, Caribbean Strap.
Well,
they have a cockfight before the match, too?
They re-aired two matches. They did the Merrill Hemsley, Bulldog Michaels again. And then the first match that aired live was the Strap match with Savio Vega and Austin. And the stipulation was DiBiase was representing Austin as the ringmaster. If Austin lost, DiBiase had to leave, which meant my contract's up and I'm leaving anyway. So the match was good.
Yeah, this was like the shit kicker match of the night.
Yeah,
you guys beat the fuck out of each other and strangled each other like there was like no tomorrow.
You talk about Mark Merrow being underrated, and the guys talk about it in the chat room too. Savio Vega, Savio Vega was he was solid.
The guy was Quang.
Yeah, he was Quang. He was TNT in World Wrestling Council in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, WWC.
Right. I mean, he fucking had crazy matches in Puerto Rico with Hercules Ayala and all those cats. I mean, it was crazy shit.
He owned Austin with that in that strap match.
He did own Austin. you know, they came out with, they went back and forth with touching the corners. Vega had enough fight in him to get Austin to turn around. But, you know, there's like a tug-of-war type thing, and Vega flew into the corner that he needed to, causing Austin to, like a tug-of-war type thing, and causing Austin to lose the match. But this was right before... You guys know this is like a month before King of the Ring, right? So now like, he loses DiBiase and pretty much loses the gimmick.
Yeah.
That was, like, the last night... That was, like, the last night he was stoned... He was the ringmaster.
And Phil, you know the Ultimate Warrior was on this card, right?
Yes, he fought Owen Hart. He beat Owen Hart. Yes, yep. It was a dark match.
In the dark match.
We talked about it briefly with Vader and Cornette. They had a little bit of a feud going on. The events leading to the match was Vader messing up Yoko's leg. So Yoko was wounded at this point.
Yeah, he was getting heavier too.
He was a hasa. At one point, Yoko missed his target doing the bonsai, and Vader did an elbow drop to the leg, messing the leg up again, and then Vader did the Vader bomb for the pinfall, and then some shenanigans after the match. But
yeah, it was a decent match.
It was okay. I mean, for two big men, it was solid. I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, Yoko was still agile. I don't know if it was around like this time or not long after. I remember hearing that WWF actually sent him, I don't want to say fat camp, but they sent him to, you know, some sort of nutritionist or...
Yeah, Duke University.
Something to get his weight down.
Yeah, Duke University has it. That's where they send all the guys. Yep. That's where they send football players there, too.
I think he was losing at first, but it wasn't working. And once he got let go, man, the guy just like... became even huger.
I don't know if you guys remember, but this started Vader's big push towards SummerSlam.
Yeah, didn't he fight Shawn Michaels at In Your House, one of the In Your Houses, for the title?
No, it was at SummerSlam.
Yeah, SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, right. SummerSlam 96. We should do SummerSlam 96 this year.
He couldn't handle the boy toy.
Vader was cussing him out the whole match.
So the next match that was aired was the last match, was the casket match for the IC title. Goldust with Marlena taking on the Undertaker.
Wow, dude! You know,
not a lot of people.
Backstage crew is in full effect.
What's that, Shane?
Jeremy? I said the backstage crew is in full effect.
Yeah.
Holy crap!
Yeah, it's like every other match was a gimmick match.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Tony, what were you gonna say, Tony C?
No, I was just saying that not a lot of people remember this, that Undertaker Goldust like exchange when they had the Undertaker could have became IC champion.
Well, there were three other dark matches. I'll get into them real quick before I get into this match. Jake Roberts beat Justin Bradshaw. Ahmed Johnson beat Jerry Lawler, and I already mentioned the Ultimate Warrior fighting Owen Hart. So
Pearl River Plunge.
That sloppy motherfucker. I'm sorry, dude. He was sloppy. He had the look, but he was a slop. He almost killed. People talk about people Ryback killing people. I met Johnson. If he would have stayed around, he would have killed somebody. I'm convinced. I'm convinced.
I'm surprised he didn't kill. Who was that he dropped on the hood of the car?
Yeah, Shotgun Saturday Night.
Yeah, was,
you guys see that? Remember that?
Yeah.
Like
there was some condensation on the car. So like, you know, yeah, it's all right. I'm gonna climb on the top of this wet car
and do a sit down
power bomb with, you know, me and this other guy, about, you know, four and change combined. And
that was bad.
I'm gonna slip and possibly break this guy's neck. What a dick. Anyway,
hey man, Ahmed Johnson had enough padding on him, so it wouldn't hurt him. So
wouldn't hurt him. Yeah. Of course, it wouldn't hurt him.
No wonder why.
No shit, because he kept hurting everybody. That's why Ryback was
a car crash dummy.
He did. He was a big crash test dummy.
Like with Michelin Man.
That's what Ryback is. He's the white Ahmed Johnson. He's gonna kill some. I like Ryback. He's gonna kill somebody.
Who's going to kill somebody first, him or Brock?
He is.
Really?
Yeah, Brock is going to kill him. Brock is not sloppy, dude. Brock is, he's sound.
Okay, it's the difference between being sloppy and careless.
Right. You know what I'm saying? You could be sloppy and careless, but Brock is cold and sound. I mean, when Brock throws you, he's calculating it. He knows where he's going to throw you. Yeah, same thing with Bam Bam Bigelow. Bam Bam Bigelow did that, too, a lot. You know, he knew what he was doing. Like, if he did a cartwheel into a somersault, he knew where to land. And he was 370 pounds, you know? But that Ahmed Johnson.
So I guess you're saying Lesnar just throws you and don't give a damn where you go, per se.
But he'll do it safely.
Exactly. He's going to throw you in the vicinity of
right,
where
it sounds like an oxymoron, but I mean, it sounds.
I mean, just ask Zach Gowen. I mean.
Yeah. Damn. Zach, you know what, Shane, you wrong for that one. Yeah, Zach Gowen.
Fucking Shane.
Poor Zach Gowen. Got a bad rap.
Moving right along.
Yeah.
All right, last match was the casket match for the IC title. Goldust taking on The Undertaker. Weird seeing Taker going for the IC belt. But, again, good lead up. Goldust at this point was in the zone. A lot dumpier looking too. He looks better now that he's old. He had tits back then. You see the titties on him?
Yeah, he had that onesie on
with the titties.
Yeah, he's yoga now, man.
His tits are almost as big as Marlena's.
You know, that's Alexander York.
Yeah, she leaves the York Foundation. You know, gets herself a fucking gold dress. You know, lets her hair out.
Good job.
Yeah, lets the hair out a little bit. You know,
she drops that computer.
Yeah. So, you know, here's something. Now, I think this is the second time that Taker's lost a casket match. He lost this one, he lost on Yokozuna when there were 17 people had to help him, right?
He also lost a body bag match to Warrior.
Not body bag, talk about the casket match.
That was predecessor to the casket match.
Right.
No, he lost the one to...
He lost the
who did he lose to? He lost the one to Shawn Michaels.
Casket match?
When he set... Yeah, when he got set on fire.
Okay, so you lost three of them.
At the Rumble.
Yeah, so Taker...
He lost to Vader, too, at a house show, MSG.
He lost all these casket matches. Wouldn't you want to... Like, if that's your gimmick and you're losing them, you might want to change it up a bit. But
I'd
no.
Be pissed.
Yeah. They finished this pretty much the same way.
Yeah, they'll kill. Then they kill him off, and then Leslie Nielsen has to go find him. All right? So... So at this point, Taker does the tombstone, and he went to roll him into the casket. However, someone was in the casket, right, Dave?
It was Mankind.
That's right.
Well, Mankind!
That's right. Mrs. Foley's baby boy comes out, locks on the mandible claw, asks Shining Over Jackson about that mandible claw. He got it about a month or two ago from Mick Foley. He did. And so he got the claw on, positioned Taker into the casket, shut the lid. And I think, which was cool, the best part of this was you see Mankind. Now the bell rings, Goldust retains, obviously, but Mankind's actually locking the fucking casket.
This is great.
He locks the casket. Like, you see him with the piece, like, locking it. Like, you know, trying to be nonchalant. And then he sits on top of the casket, and suddenly, oh boy, it starts to smoke. Mankind goes to the locker room while Paul Bearer and you know, Rene Goulet and everybody come out, and they try to open the casket. When it opens, Take is gone. And Leslie Nielsen has to look for him, and that was your pay-per-view.
Oh, dude, I love that. That was like, it was like some type of horror movie, kind of.
You see, I liked it. I liked it the first couple of times.
Yeah.
But like 10 years down the line, when it's,
yeah, you know, ages. Really
knew what was going to happen to him.
Right. Like, he's dead. He comes back. He's dead. He comes back. He's dead. He's a biker. You know, it's like,
Kane set him on fire. That was the bee's knees right there.
Yeah.
At Royal Rumble 98.
Yeah.
It's like one more.
Mosca's on fire.
Mosca's
on fire.
What more can you do with a man that's already dead?
Yeah. Set him on fire. Plus, it doesn't help if your boss is flicking you and your brother off, you know. I don't know if you guys remember seeing that when they went to go turn around that one Raw, and all of a sudden Vince is flipping him off. that was awesome.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Did he turn around real quick?
That's crazy. Yeah. But I enjoyed this, and I enjoyed this kind of this time in wrestling. This is a fun time to be in wrestling.
But Phil, like, from that point, like May until like DX hit, it was kind of quirky because you had like mind games.
Yeah, but you had WCW to counter that though. Like
yeah, that's true.
WCW picked the ball up and said, you know what, I'm gonna run with this now, and we have a whole new direction. And
like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Right.
Like SummerSlam. In August, it was Vader versus Michaels, and WCW had Hog Wild, the first one. Well, the second one.
The second one.
I was watching Hog Wild instead.
Which is main event, the Giant versus Hogan. So.
Right. So now you have Hogan. Steve Austin wins the King of the Ring and tells everybody to kiss his ass, right?
Yep.
And then Hogan... After Nash comes in, right after Scott Hall, it brings Nash in 2 weeks later, and then now the third, who's the third guy? Now it's Hogan. Now the game changed drastically. We all know what happens after this. I'm not going to beat a dead horse.
Yeah.
But like this was the transition. That is what WWE needed to get out of the gimmick. To get out of the bullshit, quirky, like Tony C says, that quirky era, that set the bar that much higher. And
wait,
that
quirky era, the retarded era?
Quirky.
Quirky Romano.
Not Quirky Romano. Hello, Pizza. No,
the month of November will be known for Jose Lothario getting hit in the chest and Sid winning the WWF title.
Again,
JR saying, Shawn Michaels could give a damn.
So in a 3 or 4 month span, the game changes drastically. And, you know, guys get faded out. They go something and WCW signs them. And that's pretty much how it goes. And you guys know the rest of it. The rest is history. I mean,
but they get buried in WCW.
But this was the turning point.
Yeah.
This was I'm not saying this pay-per-view was a turning point. The time of year, right? Yeah. This was like the thing, you know.
Well, WWF went into 1997 with Psycho Sid as the WWF champion. So.
Yeah,
I mean,
people loved.
I don't know. I just feel
just
like
take that for what it's worth.
I just feel like it was such a good time to be a wrestling fan.
Another thing too was you guys are talking about Shawn Michaels. You know, HBK, was he ever close to jumping to WCW?
He says no. Yeah, he says no.
Yeah, I've heard it. Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
He says no, but I got to be honest with you, man. I think everybody at that point was like, should I stay or should I go? It was
his deal just came up.
Yeah, it was guaranteed money. They paid they pay dudes to stay home. You know, like Lanny Poffo was in WCW. You never saw him on TV.
He was supposed to be Gorgeous George, too.
Right. You know, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. You know, they paid him a shitload of money. They made him U.S. champion for 3 days, and that was it.
Garbage.
Then he stayed home for the rest of his career. You know, until he
came back in like 2000, dropping Old Glory knee drops on.
Turned on, yeah. It became Team Canada. That was funny shit though.
That was actually pretty good. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the Team Canada versus MIA feud. That was really good.
I remember that. Oh my god, that is so old, man.
But again, here's the thing. There was so much money being shifted. There was so much. WCW had at that point. Once Hogan did the turn, they were off and running.
Open the floodgates.
And they had to have like guys like Taker, Austin, Triple H, Shawn Michaels before he hurt his back, and before he lost his smile. They all had to step up.
Yeah,
they all had to step up and take
damn
care
of smile.
Right, they all had to step up and take care of business. And I think you're never going to get that again.
You know, the undercard guys too.
Right, yeah, it's the same thing. Like even the undercard guys in WCW. When you see an Ultimo Dragon Rey Mysterio match, or you see Dean Malenko, Chris Jericho, all those guys, Viano 17, you know, all those fucking
La Parka,
you know, Hoovy, Psicosis, like all these guys. Like, that was my. I love WCW for that.
El Dandy,
yeah, rest
fucking
in peace.
Disco, man.
Disco Inferno, like all the undercard guys were awesome. And I think
Das Wonder Kid, Alex Wright.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Here's the thing too. It's like, you know, it made WWE work for it constantly, and they were constantly on the grind, and finally after like 5 years they finally caught up. And again, I'm not gonna be that horse, but we all know what happens, but like that, you'll never see that again in pro wrestling.
But Phil, the thing that makes WCW fans upset about WWE, they never recognized that WCW almost put them out of business, man.
I think it's neat.
They were
a
little bit above what TNA is.
I agree. I think it's an ego thing. I think
but you'll never hear about it.
Right, because a lot of guys...
I think the winners rewrite history, so...
I think the only person really that's honestly went on record to even say anything close to that is on the Monday Night War episode I was watching. Undertaker said, he's like, so what are you going to do? He's like, you have all your cards here. Are you going to, you know, fold, or are you going to kick their ass? So I was like, whoa, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
well, Cole said it on there too. He was like, "We didn't know where we went off next paycheck."
Yeah.
It's
he didn't know how he's gonna, you know, frost his tips.
Yeah.
Tips.
Yeah. Think about this too. Guys like Taker and guys like Shawn Michaels who didn't leave. Austin didn't leave either at that point. He had, you know, but guys who didn't, who weren't there, like guys who like see. Taker was there, but like in the early 90s, you know, but like guys like Shawn Michaels and him, they didn't go back and forth. You know what I'm saying? Those guys, the responsibility they had, not responsibility, but I guess I don't even want to call it a burden. I want to, it's like, you know, like they were the rah-rah guys. Like Shane said, you know, they were like, what are you going to do? Shit or get off the pot.
Through the lean year.
That's the thing. And I think the loyalty paid off. Obviously it paid off because now it's a monopoly. But the competition was almost necessary, if that makes any sense to you guys.
And I'm in agreement, Phil, with what I think you've said this on numerous occasions. Someone needs to come along and somehow, some way, make them step up their game.
Yeah.
Them being the WWE.
Well, it helped that wrestling was still part of mainstream television. It helped that, you know, it mattered that it was on TV. Now, I mentioned at the top of the show that you're going to have 5 shows on Wednesday nights, and nobody's going to give a shit about it but us. You know what I'm saying? Like back in the day, people look forward to Raw and Nitro. People had Nitro parties. People had I still have a WrestleMania party to this day. Mm-hmm. You know, like people were. It was culturally and socially more accepted. Once that all got filtered out, and once it became a monopoly, once the E went public, and we went PG, and it's like, well, it's not that fun anymore. And opened it in. Which made the indies work more. You're putting out a lot of great indie guys that are fantastic in the last 10 or 15 years, and feds like Ring of Honor and Evolve and Chikara and, you know, shit like that, PWG and PWS and, you know, JCW and stuff like that. But, you know, you put all these other promotions all over the fucking country, even in Europe, you know, Progress and Insane Championship Wrestling, all these feds, you make them work harder, but they don't get the recognition because it's not on TV.
Yeah.
So, and that's the sad part. So, and that's the sad part. But.
Yeah. And that's the way it goes.
Such is life, kids. Such is life. We'll start wrapping this up.
C'est la vie.
Tony, well, Shane, any words of wisdom before I let you go, sir?
I just want to say, you know, it's been a pleasure tonight, guys, and, you know, hope, you know, you guys have a good week, so.
Yeah. You know, you have greater week, Shane.
You have a great week.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully I'll see you on Sunday for the pre-show.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it, Shane. Have a good night, brother.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right.
Take care, man. Have a great night.
All right. Tony C, how you feeling, brother? You doing all right?
I'm feeling okay, man. Appreciate you guys allowing me to grace your show with my presence.
You know, Tony C, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, especially when we're covering Shawn Michaels defeating the British Bulldog.
Exactly. So,
because we know there's plenty of those matches that went down.
And I know Mega Powers has them touted to come out here later this summer. So I'll probably be back on here in the near future. Thank you guys for having me. Clarence Mason, you are Uncle Tom, my friend. And Phil, you will not talk bad about Jose Lothario and be allowed to Texas.
I did it. All I said was...
Actually, our next show is going to be the best of Jose Lothario.
which Dave would do him by himself. From his phone somewhere in Newark.
All super sock all night.
Him and Rage can do that show on their phones in Jersey. But yeah, Tony C, thanks for calling. I'll probably be you jumping on Sunday for the pre-show for the Chamber.
Yeah, man, I could do that for you. I'll be there.
I'm taking one for the team because I hate the Chamber, but I love the rant. So I'm gonna host the dish for AA this time. But it's
cool beans.
Yeah,
so
it looks like a good card,
appreciate
man.
You guys. And don't allow Phil into Jose's if you can hear me in Texas. If he doesn't,
no,
take
he won't
back.
Even be allowed in Chi-Chi's. So.
All my peoples in Texas, I'll be down there next April. Don't get it twisted. With my shit kickers on and my posse. That's what they have in Texas. They have posses.
So Phil's going to be wearing the Dusty Rhodes fur coat with 10-gallon hat.
Goddamn right I am. And I'll cut the illest promo you've ever seen in your life.
With the Willie Nelson shirt on and the... American bandana wrapped around his neck.
That's right, baby.
You should name this show Beware of Jose, not Beware of Dog.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony. You just gave me the fucking name of the show. Thank you.
Jose's Revenge.
Jose's Revenge. Jose's Revenge. Beware of Jose. Thanks, Tony.
Yes, sir.
Good night,
have
man.
A great night,
catch
bro.
You guys later.
See you Sunday, man.
See you Sunday.
You got it, brother.
Peace.
Later.
All right, Black Hammer. Are we done?
We're done, man. I don't know if we could talk more about the chicanery that happened at In Your House, Beware of Dog 1 and 2.
Anyway, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Thanks for Tony C. Thanks for everybody tuning in tonight. Everybody in the chat room, thanks for Sugar Shane for calling in.
God bless us all, everyone.
And again, turnbucklethrowbacks.com. All the episodes are there. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. We're selling shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. You want to email us, turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com. Twitter is @tbuckleteabacks. And what else we got going on? Castle Slam. Go to rantemradio.com. Click on the donate button. Hook us up. And I'll see you guys on Sunday for the big pre-show for Elimination Chamber.
I'm excited to hear what you think of the pay-per-view. I have a feeling it's going to be a pure six brawls. I think it's going to be good.
All right. So on behalf of the Mega Powers, I am the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, bidding you adieu. Reminding everybody, don't get the clap, don't get arrested, be kind to animals, hug your mom, and watch more wrestling. Good night,
and
kids.
Hug somebody.
Hug somebody. Good night, kids.
Peace.